Welcome to the Business of Collaboration podcast. In this podcast, we try and answer the following questions. What is innovation? How do people collaborate and work together? Who is behind the most innovative ideas, technology, and knowledge? We are curious about people. How do they innovate? How do they create a new technology or acquire new knowledge? We give them a voice and a platform to share their stories because they are superheroes.
This is your host, Jara Pascual, founder of NoCo and CollabWeb. Today, we have the pleasure to talk to Karin Ekberg. Karin Ekberg is a true leader, owner and CEO of Leadership and Sustainability, former senior director of consumer goods at ThinkStep, former head of environmental services at Adidas Group, and former chair of board of directors at Sustainable Apparel Coalition, and former executive management board member at Zero Discharge of Azarus Chemicals Group. We were talking about the importance of making ambitious goals for sustainability. She has founded Eviva in 1992. It was a Swiss project to develop and implement a Swiss rating approach to rate corporations on sustainability. So she was a pioneer in the fashion industry. And of course, we discuss what is innovation, what is collaboration for innovation in the sustainability sector. Do you want to know? Listen to our podcast with Karin Ekberg. Welcome, Karin Ekberg, to the podcast Business of Collaboration.
Thank you so much, Jara. I'm pleased to be with you again.
Yes, I think I am super proud to have you here in the podcast because, I know you and I work for you. And I know how you do things, so you are such an inspiration, Karin, from always from the beginning. So it's like really a true honor to have you here today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So the first question, what is your story? How was your professional path from a chemical engineer to lead the sustainability industry?
Thanks for those kind words. A long story, 35 years of experience. And of course, I hope I can contribute to a more sustainable industry and create also measurable results, because that is what I'm really most committed to really create results. My first job was with a company in Switzerland producing water and wastewater treatment plants, where I had the fantastic opportunity to help build plants and also take them into operation. That was really, really exciting. And among others, I was spent several months in Portugal taking one large plant into operation. That was an exciting experience so early also in my career. And after that, I have spent many years in an environmental consulting company working with all sorts of end-of-pipe technologies. This was the end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s. It was in Switzerland. And at that time, everyone was focusing on treating wastewater, cleaning up old landfills. We were cleaning up toxic landfills, for example. We were doing waste concepts, etc. So a lot of basically everything you can think of in terms of cleaning up. And what was interesting really was that at the beginning of the 90s, when the ISO 14001 and the EMAS, the management systems for environment were launched, that was for me a really big thing. When I started to understand that you don't need to just clean up what comes out of the pipe, so to say, but you can begin by thinking through your processes and seek to reduce your impacts before you have them. So that was a big insight for me, actually. And later, I worked also 1 year in Brazil. It was very exciting. And later, I moved back to Sweden, my home country, and I stayed there for 10 years. working as a consultant, but also working with the largest locking manufacturer in the world, Assa Abloy. They produce locks, door closers, opening systems, and a really great company. And I was responsible for sustainability there. And I was their first director of sustainability. So I built up their sustainability strategy and programs. That company still has a lot of manufacturing entities, around 100 manufacturing entities over the entire world, in Americas, Europe, Asia Pacific. So I had the pleasure and the privilege really to spend a lot of time in factories as well. So I did strategic work, but I also spent a lot of time in the factories. And that was a really exciting time. And from there, I moved to Germany to Adidas and the apparel, textile and fashion industry. And that was in 2009 that I joined Adidas, and I was responsible for environment globally there. And there I met a person called Jara Pascal as well. So we worked together on environmental projects, and you helped drive for sustainable for sustainable innovation in IT. Yes. And now 5 years, nearly 5 years ago, I launched my own company, Leadership and Sustainability.
Yeah, I am thinking, because you, reading your resume as well, you founded in 1992, Eviva as a Swiss project to develop and implement a Swiss rating approach to rate corporations as inspiration for shopping for a better world. So you were really a pioneer in there in the fashion industry. How this project came out?
Yes, so that project was not only for the fashion industry, it was actually meant to be used for any brand. And that was in 1992, I read an article about Alice Tepper Marlin. She's now, was also the founder of Social Accountability International, that launches the SA 8000 standard. But at that time, she had started the work with a shopping guide, Shopping for a Better World. And I was just amazed when I read about her and at the possibility that this project pointed to, namely to rate companies for their sustainability results and communicate the results to the consumers so that the consumers could make sustainable and responsible choices. And it was just, I thought, a fantastic project. And they were very simple guidelines, but also very pragmatic, very practical. You could go into the guidelines or into the shopping guides and have a look at what you wanted to buy, for example, toothpaste. And then you would see which companies do produce toothpaste. And then you could see their rating in different criteria. And I thought that was so fantastic. Yeah. So I started that project, such a project in Switzerland. We had to change the concept. We had to go deeper than what the American project did. In Switzerland, people really want to see more details in general. So we developed a methodology to rate companies accordingly. And we started a pilot project, and we rated around 14 companies. And so that was a great, great experience, a learning experience also to think through how to really, what is really important for corporations and for the consumers to know about. However, this was 1992, and we were not able to create funding for the project, and therefore we could not continue the work. Unfortunately, I was very sad about that.
Can't imagine. Yeah.
And but soon after this, the investment community started to rate companies with very similar methodologies, and the rest is SRI, socially responsible investing history. So now it's a big industry with a SRI community. And we used to say, this is a project whose time has come. And here I sit nearly 30 years later, and we are still working on that project, basically, as a sustainable industry. And so much later, I'm happy to say that there are now communication tools about sustainability available for consumers for many different product groups. And one example that I wanted to mention, and that is within the fashion industry, it's SAC, Sustainable Apparel Coalition. They have defined a transparency roadmap where brands, retailers, and manufacturers can communicate publicly about their results with the HIC index, which measures at brand level their strategies, but also at facilities level, their environmental programs and results. So something has happened in those in all those years. So I'm really happy to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember in a small, very small scale when we were at Adidas in IT, one idea was how to rate the suppliers. You remember?
Yes,
I do. And how difficult it is to come to some kind of index or how we measure when at that time even it was all the data is not available. You know, we have to draft, okay, what are the important points we can have where we can rely and then we can measure and make an indication, okay, that supplier is more greener than this one, you know, if you have, if we can lobby somehow, you know, the decision.
I know, yes.
Yeah, well, now it's very important. But I wanted to know more about how now you are helping companies at the sustainability and leadership level, because at the end, when you are making this change in an industry or in an organization, it's a change. So this is a transformation of an industry, and this is about leadership. So you put very well together these two concepts of leadership and sustainability. So how are you helping companies?
Yes, I aspire to do so. And my company's name is Leadership and Sustainability. And there is a reason for that name, very clearly so. It is because I think that both are so important. So in order to really become sustainable, you do need to have leadership qualities. And also on the other hand, we need leaders who take on sustainability as an important topic. And therefore the name Leadership and Sustainability. So we are a consulting and auditing company. We support brands, retailers and suppliers with their respective programs, be it at the strategic level or with supply chain management or factory management or even product and materials measures. And we are now a team of five persons in Germany and seven persons abroad. So we are growing slowly, but we are growing. And how we help? Well, it is actually a change management project to implement sustainability. And even for those companies who have come far, when it comes to sustainability, it remains a change management project. And I think change management is an area by itself, but you do need to be very much understanding what change management is in order to be successful with sustainability. And change management has a lot to do with sustainability, with leadership as well. And I think that is what makes it so exciting to work in the sustainability area. You need so many different qualities in order to be able to really be effective when it comes to sustainability programs. So we work with brands, retailers, we work with manufacturers as well. We work also with large manufacturing groups in developing their strategies. So that's interesting because then you have the same approach to develop a strategy like for a brand, but you do it from the manufacturer's side. So you do it from another position in the value chain. Yes.
What will be your advice to help transforming companies, industry, cities and governments on how to create a sustainable economy and industry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, of course, depending on if you are a city, an industry, a company, or even a country, it is a very different perspective. But there are some approaches and some important items that are the same, basically, independent of what type of organization or country you are. And I think that for me, you really need to focus on the things that are really important. So you need to prioritize. So there are things you will not do. And those are important things as well. You need to just push them away and work on the ones that are most important. And so you need to focus on what matters most. And that means that you also need to analyze what are the sustainability impacts and focus on those that are really the most significant. I always say impacts, risks, and opportunities. So you need to focus on your impacts, the risks you have, but also the opportunities, which has a lot to do with innovation, with your main topic. And we have a method of how to do that. You have to analyze your entire, let's say, company or country or your industry, and in a very structured way and with very specific questions. And then you can basically get a result of where you can see where are my main areas where I need to be active, be it because I have a significant impact or because I have to manage a significant risk, or perhaps I have a great opportunity to save energy or to save money in some area. So it's really also important to look at opportunities here. Mm-hmm. And then what I think is also important, that is to have the strategy in mind and to develop a strategy, a long-term strategy. It should not be month by month or year by year. And you know, in our daily lives, it's so easy to be driven day by day. So you need to sometimes pull away and see that you have a long-term perspective. So we often speak about five-year plans, for example. And here, when you develop a strategy, you should have goals, measurable goals. So we have some companies, even some that are really well known for their sustainability work, and some just work by projects. But that is not, in my view, it's not effective if you really don't measure the results you have in your projects. So are you really creating measurable change? Are you really having a good impact, a positive impact? So that's really important. And connected with those measurable goals, and I think they should be ambitious. So you need to be challenged. They should also be realistic. And that is, of course,
our goals at Adidas.
Yes.
50% reduction of paper consumption. We did it, by the way.
Yes. And that's a challenge. If companies or people are not used to setting measurable goals, it's also a challenge to do so, because you will never be able to prove that you will reach the goal unless you are already 5 years ahead and have done it. So it's always an uncertainty there. But anyway, and what I think is also important in connection with those goals, that is that you have a realistic business plan for it and understand your business case, which means you need to understand where are the savings I have, but also where are the costs I have, because only then can you judge if a specific project is really valuable. So let's say I have 5,000 euro in my hand and I want to invest it. Of course, I want to invest where I can make the biggest change. But you can only do that if you really know what is the business case, what is the cost or the positive, the benefit, the saving of my different projects. So that's important to do. And you need to have a good balance between, from a triple bottom line perspective, so from a social, environmental, and financial perspective. Then another thing is integrate. So looking back 35 years, even today, you often see sustainability departments that work as silos on the side of the actual company. And that is a problem. So what we need to do, and many companies are beginning to do that and are more and more successful. At Adidas, we were really driving that. And you were one of our partners in the business function, in the IT function. But that is so important, that sustainability is integrated directly into the business processes. And it's not just driven by the sustainability expert. It needs to basically be driven in the business. Only then will you be able to drive lasting change. So that's really important. And I think here, if we take a country as an example, I think today we have lots of large and publicly listed companies that are getting large loans or even other financial supports from governments. And what I would like to see now is that those governments also take the opportunities to connect sustainability requirements to those loans. So they basically, that's where they can integrate sustainability now in the work that they do. And for example, there are companies we know of who get loans, but at the same time, they have business in tax havens, using those benefits for themselves, but in the end, at the cost of the taxpayers. And that's not right. And it is a pity because it would be a great opportunity for governments to drive sustainability also in this respect. And it's just one example of how to integrate sustainability. And then, of course, innovation is also an important criteria.
Yeah, and I want to mention, like, when we were working together at Adidas, I was not responsible for sustainability. I was driving innovation in IT, and then the part of green IT, it was some kind of voluntary work, and my strategy was to integrate the green into the whole innovation. If we are doing innovation, why not to do it green if we are doing something?
Yeah, exactly. You take your existing business process and then you integrate sustainability in there. Yeah. That was a great work. Yes. So that's, and then so innovation, seeking for new opportunities, but also have patience and build step by step, I think is really important. You do need time. You need to have patience and build confidence, create alliances, etc. And then about communication, I think it is a big problem we have today. A lot of companies are communicating very, very blurry, let's say, and not with the really clear facts. And it's so important in order to create that trust with consumers, especially, that companies are really thoughtful when they communicate and always underpin their communication with facts and comparable results, etc. So I would like to, even here, I would like to see authorities looking much deeper into the sustainability communication of companies and organizations, because only so can we build that trust with consumers so that they can feel that they can rely on the information that we share with them. Then collaboration, I think, is also very important in order to become more sustainability and to seek joint solution and use harmonized and joint tools as well where they are available. So these were just a few things that I think are really important in order to be successful with sustainability.
You are listening to the Business of Collaboration podcast, a production from CollabWith. We are an online community helping businesses connect with experts to solve innovation challenges and create consortiums. We do this through a custom-built environment where academics, startups, and businesses collaborate to innovate and accelerate. Together, we break down the barrier between academics and the business world. Innovation has never been so accessible. And now, back to our podcast.
So after all these years working on sustainability, how do you see the future of sustainability?
Yes, I think sustainability has a good future, I would say. Looking back 35 years, there have been a lot of ups and downs for sustainability. So sometimes the area of sustainability is very hot, let's say, and sometimes it is not that important for many. So it goes a bit up and down. But of course, what we can see even over the past decade, especially in the fashion sector, we can see over the past decade a huge development. And even over the past 1 or 2 years worldwide, we can see a huge development towards sustainability. And many more are seeing that sustainability just needs to be one of the main processes. You just need to have in place in order to have a license to operate, really. So I see a good future of sustainability. It's getting more and more established, let's say.
And what is innovation for you?
Yes, you ask me that. You are this. You are the expert here. I think innovation needs openness to let people be inspired and express their passion, and then innovation comes and idea flows. And I think that is what you, for example, were really a role model when it came when it comes to that openness, being open, being in flow a bit. And then I think innovation can be completely new things, but I think it can also evolve. So perhaps per definition, innovation is more of those inventions, for example. But I believe that innovation can also be evolvement, small changes over time that can lead to big changes in the end. Yeah.
And what is collaboration for innovation?
Collaboration for innovation. It is working together to find joint and new solutions, and be prepared also, as we have seen with the Sustainable Apparel Coalition, for example, where many competitors are working together to drive sustainability. So you need, of course, also to have a space where you, a trusted space, where you don't speak about your market or your product prices or whatever, but you are able to speak freely about sustainability and even share experience that you have had with your programs. And so I think it is an open, it needs to be again very open. So we are really have one word here that I think is so important for collaboration, that's openness.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. What is the thing you are most proud of?
I don't have one thing. Some of the roles I have had, I'm proud of. And most of it, the results I have made, where I have been able to see I have made a change, a lasting change in a company. And also some specific results. I have worked at companies where we have been able to phase out chlorinated solvents, for example, huge amounts of chlorinated solvents, where we have been able to significantly reduce the use of hexavalent chromium, where we have been able to save a lot of energy in many companies. And I think those measurable results are really great. But there are, of course, also a lot of personal things I have been proud of learning to deal with also sometimes, you know, with the obstacles you have in sustainability. And for being a sustainability practitioner, you need to keep being inspired even when you are a bit tired. And even when people tell you that sustainability is the last thing they want to hear you speak about. And so I'm proud of that, the, you know, the development you do as a human being as well. And so I think that's what I can say about what I'm proud of.
Yeah, growing by living the frustration.
yeah. And I am proud of my own company as well. So I think it's great to have your own company and to be able to serve so many great clients. I'm so privileged to be able to work with so many great companies. So yeah, it's great.
And the failure you were learning the most from?
Yes. I have had some failures. I think that perhaps the biggest one may be at a personal level, that I have not always been able to find the right balance when it comes to work-life balance. And that has had its costs. That had not been really balancing everything so well. But it's always easy to say in hindsight, I should have done this or that. And then I can say also I have had many conversations where I was not able to really successfully win someone for sustainability, or where I perhaps used the wrong argument, or even when I let's say, where I was not able to support persons in my own team or otherwise. And I tried to support them, but I did it in the wrong way and perhaps even have hurt some people. And that is something I'm not proud of. Yeah.
That is coming from, the leadership part. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So more to personal questions as the last ones. What is your favorite place for holidays?
Yes, I live in Germany. I think Germany is great. I just spent 7 days on the bike, very near to here, nice. In Bavaria. Very, very nice. But then also, I like my home country, Sweden. I have lived in Switzerland for many years. I love Switzerland as well. I love Brazil. I love traveling. So there are lots of favorite places. Yeah.
Do you have a routine in the morning?
In general, or yes. When I am on vacation?
In general.
I seek to do sport in the morning. That's actually, those are the best mornings when I can do sport, when I can go out running or do some biking at home. So that those are really good mornings. And otherwise, it's drinking tea and ramp up, start the computer.
What are you doing with your spare time and the weekends?
Yes, we do a lot of walking and biking. We like cooking as well, trying out a few new recipes. And now during the corona crisis, there has been some more time to do things like that when you're not traveling as much. So I like that. And yes, I like reading too, maybe literature from work, but also other books, for example. Mm-hmm.
And talking about books, what book are you reading now or you will like to recommend?
Yes, I can recommend one book that I'm reading right now. It is called, the title is From the Death Zone to the Boardroom. Very exciting title. And it is written by Benedikt Böhm and Stefan Gröschel. Benedikt Böhm is a high altitude speed climber and businessman. And Stefan is, I think, a professor in management. And it is very interesting because they have brought together two different perspectives. So, and very interesting topics. So it's not the typical adventure book where you read about how they ascend and etc. But Benedikt explains different feelings, actually, based on his experience being such an athlete, a mountaineer. And for example, he speaks about being afraid. He speaks about death. And obviously, he has seen a lot being up there in the mountains, in snow, etc. And then always to every topic, he first speaks about his experiences. And then this professor in management explains it from a more of a business perspective and theoretical perspective. So it's very interesting to always see those two different perspectives and to topics that are normally not mentioned in business literature. So if you read a management books, it's more about how to lead a team, how to plan, you know, how to do time management, how to be strategic instead of managing, etc., etc. All those dry and important topics, of course, but this book is really also about a bit of a deeper side. So I think it is very interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can choose a person to be interviewed here in this podcast, who will be?
I would like to say Angela Merkel.
Okay, I will try my best. Let's see, 1 year here.
I think she is a great person and she has led the country and together with her government really well, also during this crisis. But otherwise, perhaps you can speak to Benedikt Böhm, the author, and perhaps I can think of a few other names. Yeah.
Thank you, Karin. Thank you very much for this interview and for the podcast.
You are welcome, Hara. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Business of Collaboration podcast. And remember, if you want to support what we do, then share, subscribe, and leave a review over on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcast. You can find a summary of this podcast at podcast.collabwith.org. See you next week.